All right, what I'm going to preach on tonight is peace on the earth. The song that we sang earlier about peace on the earth. You look at the earth today and do you see peace? Well, no. But, you know, this is not new. The conditions that exist in the world have existed long before our lives, or even our memory of life. I believe things are getting worse. Yeah. The Bible tells us things will grow worse and worse. Wax worse is the word that the Bible uses. And he says there will be peace on earth. There's two areas of peace that I want to quickly touch on tonight. And the first one is personal peace. And that's a harmonious relationship between God and mankind. Now, not mankind in the full sense, but between God and you. Amen. Between God and an individual. Peace comes from Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 is our first scripture. John chapter 14. And verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is a personal peace that is spoken of there. And then chapter 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Personal peace. Peace comes from faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us clearly, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We, individuals, have peace with God. Peace comes by the atoning work of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 12. Ephesians 2 and verse 12. At that time, ye were without Christ, without aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He's speaking here to Gentiles. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, both Jew and Gentile, both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And then you'll see the end of verse 15, so making peace, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you. Personal peace, individually. Amen. So there are those who look at the world at this time of the year, and they'll criticize the gospel message. You'll criticize the Christmas story. Yeah, the angel said peace on earth. A lot of peace we have. There's wars everywhere. Yeah, but he came to give personal peace. Yes, and personal peace is what an individual can have. Now, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Personal peace. The peace of God. Back in Romans, it talked about with faith, we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies of His. We are now children of His. We have peace with God. Now here he tells us that if we live by the faith that saved us, if we live according to the scriptures, we will have the peace of God. You see, you can have peace with God in being saved. But if you're not living obedient to him, then you'll not have the peace of God. And a lot of Christians complain because they don't have a peaceful life. They don't have a peaceful heart. Why? Oh, they have peace with God, but they don't have the peace of God, which comes by our walk with him. So personal peace. Now the other area of peace that I believe is involved in the angel's proclamation, and that is a harmonious relationship between people.
Amen.
Okay? We have a personal peace, but then there is this harmonious relationship between people. Of course, we can go one step further, which I'll not do tonight, but that one step further would be what people are truly looking for is national peace.
Right.
Peace internationally, between nations. That's what they would say. And that's, they look, and the angel said, peace with God. Peace of God. And they look around and they see wars and rumors of wars. And they say, boy, that didn't happen. That wasn't so. But you see, there's more than one kind of peace in the Bible. We saw personal peace. Now let's look at the peace between men. A Christian should try to live at peace with all men. Now, a focus word there is try. If you'll look at Romans chapter 12... Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans 12, 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you. Well, it doesn't lie within me. It's not possible for me to be at peace with him. No, that would be distorting the intention of the verse. What it's acknowledging is that you can do everything that you can to live at peace with somebody, but if they're not going to reciprocate, well, then you can't live at peace with them. But that doesn't give us the right then to create war with them. Well, I tried to get along with them, but they wouldn't do it. So, you know, the old story. Fight fire with fire. No, we live by the Bible, not old stories. Now, if it be possible, as much as lie within you, live peaceably with all men. And here's more. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. You see, if it's not possible to lie at peace, don't get vengeful. And, you know, this guy does you dirty. And no matter what you try, he just keeps putting a knife in your back, and you just can't get, some people you just can't get along with. And I believe the Bible says, yeah, that's right. But as far as your side of the thing, live peaceably with them. Don't avenge yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Just take it on the chin. Buck up, buddy, and this is how that guy is. And so you just, what would I say? Make the best of it. Give place under wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Ah, but like so many things, we don't want to let it in the Lord's hands. We'd rather have it in our hands.
Yes, sir.
No. Bible says God will avenge you, but just be patient and let him do it. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. So you see that guy that keeps doing you dirty, keeps knifing you in the back, when you see him have a need of whatever sort, then help him. Oh, you need the grace of God to do that.
Yes, sir.
This guy just talks against you at work, no matter what you do. So you go out after work and the shift's over, you go out and you see him with a flat tire. Serves him right. Good for him. Oh, no. It's dark now because it gets dark earlier. You grab your flashlight or you park your car to shine the lights on. And you go up to him and say, can I give you a hand? Can I help you? You know, who knows what he might say? He might look at you and cuss at you and tell you I don't need your help. Well, okay, then you just step back and let your lights keep shining on his car so he can change his flat tire. And that way the light, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Not your headlights.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't argue with the guy. You just step back and let him go. Okay? Now, that takes the grace of God. Because our first reaction is going to be by the old nature to rise up and fight fire with fire. Now, Sam and Pete, they're in the fire company. I was going to say something, but I think my illustration is going to fall apart. You know, they don't fight fire with fire, but there's times where they might, in order to stop fire, they might start it over here so it burns together and that and stops itself. So much for that illustration. all right. As much as possible, lie peaceably among you. And then Christians should especially be at peace with fellow believers. I'm going to say that again. Christians especially should be at peace with fellow believers.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule. That means to be an umpire, to be a decider. Or we could say, let the peace of God be a ruling principle in your heart, and to the which also ye are called in one body. And we're called to harmony. We're called to have oneness in the Lord. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're called to harmony, to enjoy peace. There's no peace where there's disharmony. Now listen, it doesn't matter between a husband and wife, between a parent and a child, between a mother and a father, between a parent and a child, all different kinds of relationships that we can state and illustrate with, where the intention is that we would live together peaceably. And you see, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. How do we have that peace? By living peaceably amongst ourselves. In Romans chapter 14, Romans 14 and verse 19. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Things which make for peace. Things we say, things we do. If they don't make for peace, then we ought not say them or do them. Now, that you would think them, that's natural. Not because it's natural out of the old nature doesn't mean it's okay. I'm just simply saying, you know, you're not the worst person going because that thought would come to you. But if you're going to entertain that thought, if you're going to persist in that thought, if you're going to carry out that thought, that's bad. And I know this, the Holy Spirit will do his work. When them old nature thoughts come to me, inevitably, I will think something, I will hear something, I will hear something maybe the pastor taught, I will hear something I heard in a song, or the Spirit of God just inwardly will speak to me. And then I have to make a choice. Now, am I going to entertain that thought?
Amen.
Now, I've told you before, driving and me are not the, you know, best of friends. Well, I think I do fine driving, you know. It's all the other idiots on the road that don't. And so, but inevitably, when I get one of those thoughts I shouldn't have, the Spirit of God does His job. And I'm convinced the Spirit of God, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Spirit of God will do the same thing with you.
That's right.
It's whether you're going to yield and do what the Spirit says, or if you're going to carry out the old nature. And obviously we can't do that. And it says here in James 3:18, and I end with this one, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In other words, we want to be righteous, and that's a good wannabe.
Yep.
We want to be righteous. Well, that is sown in us when we make peace. And some people make trouble. They stir up trouble. And they're not going to achieve righteousness. Because righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so when I could make war, I must reject it and I must make peace. And then I will be able to grow in righteousness. Father in heaven, thank you for this part of the Christmas story. Thank you for the hope it gives to us.
All right, we'll go to prayer group.